Host Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now 1-800-818-2255 and let's talk legal.
We have here in the studio this morning Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And Cecil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lockwood. How are you?
Fine. I know that part of the events for the week have been we've gotten through Labor Day.
Well, you know, Lockwood, this morning on the way to the studio here, we saw a school bus, and it reminded me of the fact that we are at the beginning of a school year, and we're at a start. And September is a big month here at our law firm in the context of the fact that we are updating all of our corporate entities, Lockwood. And I want to talk about that a bit this morning.
You know, that's something a lot of people don't think about. These details.
Well, what folks do think about, and most of our listeners know, that they are incorporated because they want to protect their individual assets from any kind of, you know, liability. That is many times the primary purpose for creating a corporate entity. And your corporate entities, Lockwood, are, of course, corporation who either have S status or C status, which is a tax status, if you will, with the Internal Revenue Service. And then, of course, we can't forget our limited liability companies or our LLCs. All of those are within the types, if you will, of corporate entities. And the law is such that if you are a corporate entity, then if there is a liability, the liability rests within the context of the corporate entity. But if for some reason you don't stand up, walk, and talk like a corporation, then a good litigation lawyer, of course, is going to pierce the corporate veil and look to the individual owners of the corporation or the corporate entity. And, of course, then, you know, all is for naught. Why did we create the corporation to begin with? There are certain fundamental corporate requirements, Lockwood, and I encourage all of our listeners to first go on to the North Carolina Secretary of State website. It is a very user-friendly website. It has been updated and brought very current by Elaine Marshall, who is our current Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. And check your corporate status. Check to see that your address is correct, because what if you aren't getting appropriate mailings from the Secretary of State? Check to make sure that your officers are correct and that their addresses are correct, that your principal business address is correct, and that, generally speaking, your annual report is up to date. This is critically important, Lockwood, because if it is not, then the corporate entity might be administratively dissolved. And the Secretary of State has been more diligent about dissolving corporations or corporate entities that are not up to date with their annual filings with the Secretary of State. Now, there's nothing more that a plaintiff's lawyer is going to love able to show, you know, the court or the jury that the corporation has been administratively dissolved. That, of course, is not tending to your corporate details. So let's just start right there, Lockwood.
Question, in the case of a litigation event, you haven't maintained, you filed all the way up till 2012, mm-hmm. and you failed to file in 2013. Does that give the litigation, the litigator the opportunity to, as you said a moment ago, pierce the veil?
Well, no one failure is going to, as so many times in the law, everything is going to be looked at, you know, kind of the totality of the circumstances, Lockwood. And it does take the Secretary of State a bit of time after the failure of the report, maybe about, a year to administratively dissolve the corporation. Mm-hmm. But now let's talk about some other things. At our office, we, of course, maintain a corporate minute book for our clients. And each and every year, which is why I bring this up right now, we begin this process in September. It goes through September, October, November, and we're done with it usually by about December the 15th, so that this is concluded before the beginning of the next calendar year. And during these months, what we are doing is we're updating these corporate books with your annual minutes. And the way that this works is that the corporation meets and the shareholders first meet, and they have a shareholder meeting. The shareholders then elect the board of directors. And then there is a board of directors meeting following the shareholders meeting where the board of directors elect the officers of the corporation. And all of this is reduced to writing and is placed in the corporate minute book. And as we're saying, it's done on an annual basis. This is the annual documentation, the minimum kind of documentation that is needed in a corporate minute book, so as to be able to show that we are a legitimate corporation. And there is nothing that is going to put a corporation on better footing, should there be litigation, than to be able to bring, you know, off the shelf a corporate minute book. Gotcha. Where there's been 10, 15 years, even 3 years, but consistent minutes in the book, and be able to show absolutely, you know, judge and jury, we're here, we're walking, we're talking like a corporation, we're maintaining our corporate, our corporate minutes. Now, of course, a corporation needs a corporate bank account, it needs a corporate federal ID number, and it has to account like a corporation and file a corporate tax return. All of these things, to go back to your question, Lockwood, would be looked at. Okay. And all of these things do need to be analyzed, and it's so shocking to know, to see people come in and, yes, I'm incorporated. Well, do you have a corporate minute book? Well, I don't know about that. I don't know what you're talking about when you ask me about a corporate minute book. Maybe I need to get one. Okay. Or maybe they did not, they're still accounting like a sole proprietor. Okay. Now, the limited liability company is a statutory creation that, in our state, that is not terribly ancient, actually. It's been around now for a while. It was just beginning to come into, favor when I was in law school. So it's not ancient history, Lockwood.
Okay. Ancient is 1 year prior to that, but okay.
Right. But anyway, what I'm getting at here is that the statute relaxes some of these requirements, the limited liability company statute. And of course, it doesn't, but in our office, we still recommend that a limited liability company, members rather than shareholders at this point, members of the LLC, have an annual meeting and document, generally speaking, that they've reviewed the finances, that they ratify all of the actions of the member manager of the LLC, that they have filed their appropriate corporate return, and that things generally are, you know, copacetic for the year for the limited liability company.
In the I want to get into the differentials here between the S&C Corps and LLCs, because they're now the C Corp, which fell out of favor for a period of time, may still be out of favor because of tax issues, where the C Corp is taxed independently of the the individuals. Is that right?
The C Corp is the traditional, if you will, kind of the grandfather of corporation.
Right.
And what it is basically is that the corporation goes into business, it creates all of its income. If it passes the income out to the shareholders, that's in the form of a dividend, which is taxable, of course, to the shareholders as income. But if the corporation itself creates a profit, which we hope that it does, then of course there is tax at the corporate level. So there is what we lawyers and accountants call dual taxation with a C corporation. Now, this is not always a bad thing. And again, Lockwood, many, many corporations are C corporations. But if the corporation is very tightly, closely held, there are just a few shareholders, The business concern is again kind of not of interstate concern, but mm-hmm. again kind of tightly held within one state or one community. Many accountants at that point and lawyers will lead their client to take a C corporation and make what is known as an S election. And what the S election does is basically say that all of the profits and losses of the corporation pass down to the shareholders. And it is at the shareholder level that the tax consequences occur.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the shareholder then who reports the profits and revenue, the net profit and pays tax, or is able to take the loss. And there is no tax, if you will, at the corporate level. There's a filing at the corporate level,
mm-hmm.
but the consequence occurs at the shareholder level, and that is an S election. Now, an S election has time, the election has to be made within so many days of incorporating. There are time deadlines with an S election. And there are some other disadvantages in that there is a limitation of number of shareholders in an S corporation, which sometimes does not allow that corporation to elect S status because it has several members. It has more than the allotted number of shareholders. Also, a trust or any other entity cannot be a shareholder in an S corporation. And this is something we deal with very regularly, Lockwood. Whereas in a C corporation, one of the shareholders can be a trust.
Interesting.
But not in an S corporation.
So, folks, is there, and we've gotten into estate planning. And if,
always.
And you get into this, but you get into this situation where you're planning an estate and you're saying, okay, one of my family members that's going to go to the estate, will create a trust and they'll be a stockholder in the S corp. They can't be.
Correct. That is correct. Not in an S corporation.
But they can in a C.
But they can in a C corporation.
I think that's an interesting digression there related to estates, mm-hmm. which we've talked about a lot here with Cecil Harvell. And by the way, I haven't even mentioned that. If you'd like to ask a question of our guest this morning, you're welcome to do so. Give us a call, 800-818-2255, locally in the 910 area code of our listening audience, 353-4674, and the 252 area code of our listening audience, 247-7282. And, of course, I'll remind you, you can call them directly at their offices. I'll give you that number in just a moment right after this break. We're talking corporations with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins, and of course the program brought to you by Harvell and Collins. And by the way, I want to remind you of several things. One, their website, harvellandcollins.com, harvellandcollins.com, where, by the way, many of these programs can be heard again. They have them recorded there on their website, Harvell and, spell out the word and, harvellandcollins.com, locally at 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. We were just talking about S-Corps and C-Corps. And Cecil, the question I go to, what is the difference between a C-Corp and an LLC, limited mm-hmm. liability company, or corporation, I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's a good question. And a lot of lawyers are still asking that question.
Oh, really?
And giving different answers. Generally speaking, a limited liability company kind of begins to look more like a holding company sometimes for assets. Like you might have certain real property that you own and you lease out or that you are developing that is held within a limited liability company. Or you might have a very expensive piece of equipment, a tractor trailer mm-hmm. rig, for instance, or any other kind of large equipment. You might have a luxury item like an airplane or a large boat, which are many times held in LLCs. So I tend to think my answer is that an LLC is sometimes like a holding company for a valuable asset, whereas a corporation is a corporate entity that has an ongoing goods or services that it's selling, something that is really active on a day-to-day basis. There's nothing. A corporation acts, Lockwood, very easily. You know, a corporation is not difficult to be a corporation and to sell services, sell goods and items on a day-to-day basis. And so most folks who are in any kind of, you know, providing goods and services, you know, are corporations, whereas many times people who are holding large and valuable assets are in a limited liability company. Both, however, though, will work.
And the idea there with using the term limited liability is that issue of liability with LLC, is that an opportunity to, if you will, create a difference between the individual and the company?
Correct. And of course, as we were discussing earlier, an analysis would be made as to, like, for instance, who are going to be the owners of the members?
Gotcha.
Who are going to be the members? Who are going to be the owners? If it's going to be a trust, if we think it's going to pass through an estate, then a limited liability company might be a better candidate than an S corporation.
Because I think it's important to make note of this on the S corp.
Uh-huh.
Partnerships and trusts cannot be members of an S corp. They cannot be stockholders.
They cannot be stockholders. That's right. There's a great limitation in who the stockholders are allowed to be in an S corporation, whereas that limitation doesn't apply with a limited liability company membership interest.
Or with a C corp.
Now, Lockwood, back though on point here, you know, it's wonderful to talk about these distinctions, but if you're not maintaining these most fundamental corporate formalities, then we have a problem.
Details and everything.
They are. And it is critically important that those of you out there listening today, and many, many of you, you know who you are involved in a corporate entity. You own an LLC. You own a corporation. We get the question, Lockwood, well, it's just me and my wife. It's just me and my older son. It's just a family concern. It's just one or two of us. Well, you know, that's all the more reason that you want to have your I's dotted and your T's crossed, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter that this corporate meeting, you know, is happening at the kitchen table in the morning with the cup of coffee with mom and dad. That's just fine, by the way. Better have it happen than not happen, because you are not going to be able to assert the protection and the shield of the corporate entity without following these most fundamental details. And again, these details, Lockwood, are a corporate bank account, a corporate federal ID number, your annual reports being current with the Secretary of State, and then this annual documentation in a corporate minute book, whereby you have the members of the LLC or the shareholders of the corporation meet and generally ratify the actions of the corporation for the calendar year.
All right.
Very, very important.
Now,
if you do those things, okay, if you'll just follow those most basic requirements, you are more or less assured that a superior court judge, is going to dismiss the individual allegations in a lawsuit, in the complaint, on summary judgment is what we lawyers call it.
Mm-hmm.
Your lawyer will move to say that, but judge, we are acting like a corporation. There should be no individual liability in this lawsuit, and we are asking that our individual clients be dismissed from the lawsuit. We can continue to litigate on whether or not the corporation is liable.
Right.
But we now want to move to release the individual shareholders. And the judge will be looking at that time, and this is a matter of law, not a matter of the jury. The judge will then, who knows the law, will then be looking to see whether or not these formalities have been abided by.
One of the questions I have after this break is, where do you keep these records? We talked about this related to states. I want to ask, where do you keep these records? Stay tuned. We're chatting, of course, with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. With a few minutes remaining here on the program, let's talk legal with Harvell and Collins. And of course, the right advice at the right time. I do want to remind you, harvellandcollins.com, phone number 252, area code 726-9050, 726-9050. Someone wants to know how Wes is doing very quickly, for those who are not aware of
this. Well, thank you very much. Wes is doing just so well. He had kind of a routine back surgery. And
I don't know anything about routine
well,
back surgery.
Well, it's fairly routine, you know, a ruptured disc in his lower back. And he had surgery Thursday, a week ago. And he actually will be back in the office right much this week.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's doing well. Thank you for asking.
All right. Question I asked at the as we were going to the break, we're keeping all these corporate minutes and these documents. Where do we keep them?
Well, Lockwood, we suggest, in this, and I'm sorry, this might sound self-serving at first, but we keep them. We suggest that we keep them at our office. And the purpose of this is several purposes. It's really a service to our client. First of all, we then can make sure that they are updated and mm-hmm. that it doesn't, you've kind of put the burden on our back and it doesn't then maybe get forgotten about come September or October, or those months at the end of the year. Also, there is great support, Lockwood, in just being able to say, well, Judge, you know, look, you know, I have a corporation and my corporate book is maintained by my lawyer. It's kept at his office so that I can have consultation with my lawyer when necessary. And he maintains the corporate minute book. And that's an awfully nice thing to be able to say if your corporation is being sued.
Question on the issue of documentation and records. Mm-hmm. Is it based on the anniversary of the creation of the corporation or on the calendar year?
It is done on a calendar year basis.
Okay. All right. So right. The reason I'm wondering, you're talking about when you came in September, mm-hmm. you want to start thinking about this. So even if the corporation was started in July, you file between July and December, you file your
well,
first
what, set. Well, what might happen in that context is that you've incorporated in July, August, mm-hmm. maybe. You will have your organizational minutes.
Okay.
And that will suffice for that year. And then the following calendar year in September, you would have your annual documentation. It would begin for the first year. Now, you know, corporate minute books are active creatures. Many clients are coming by constantly, everyday occurrence, and picking them up and taking them to their accountant or using them to review for some reason and then bringing them back to the office. So we, of course, have, you know, kind of a check-in, check-out mm-hmm. policy at our office in terms of all of these books because we have quite a few of them. And I want to say this, though, Lockwood, and we don't talk a whole lot on the program about actual cost, but this is not an expensive thing. This is just a few $100s. This is not expensive to get these minutes done on an annual basis. I don't even think it's a few $100s, maybe a couple of $100. And so that is, of course, one of the services that most law firms are going to provide, that they maintain this corporate book and that they update it on an annual basis, that they be available for some question that might come up during the calendar year, and that the charge for this, of course, is, you know, is just kind of a nominal annual charge.
But it is something that people need to be thinking about. And by the way, LLCs, are they same requirements?
Same recommendation.
Okay.
The statute itself does not require that there be annual minutes, but it's our recommendation that those minutes that you have those minutes, that you do in fact have a membership meeting of the LLC on an annual basis.
Basically, for your own protection, be aggressive. Insofar as making sure that you close all the doors for this.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And this is, The deadline for filing with the state is when?
Well, there isn't a deadline on your minutes. That's your own, if you will, corporate or personal deadline, that be maintained on an annual basis. But the corporation, the Secretary of State, is going to require that there be an annual report filed for any corporate entity on a calendar year basis. Once a year, that report must be filed. And there's a small filing fee for that with the Secretary of State in Raleigh. And again, the website is just an excellent one. Just Google Secretary of State, Raleigh, North Carolina. It will come right up. You then enter your corporation or your name or whatever, and all your information will come up. And then you're even able to go online and change it.
The right advice at the right time from Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins.